Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us into the sports weekend. Really looking forward to tonight's college football game with Houston and Louisville. I know it's not Arizona-centric, but Heisman Trophy on the line, I think, for Lamar Jackson. I'm a Heisman voter, so I'm going to watch him up close and personal. Watched the Suns last night. There's some college stuff I want to get to around Todd Graham in today's show. We'll get into the NFL with Jimmy Vaccaro, as always, the best in the business. Jimmy Vaccaro, 41-year Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino and Resort. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro coming up at 10:20 today. Goody at the movies. It is Thursday as you get ready for the great weekend and the holidays. You need to get a life. You're going to watch some football, but you need to go out on a date, guys, so make sure you do it. Bill will tell you what to go see and what not to see. Fantastic Beasts, the Vinnie Paz movie, Bleed for This. I knew him as Pazianza myself, but and the Nocturnal Animals. So we've got some movies to get to with Bill. I'm in a fine space today. Have you put your Christmas lights up yet, Eric? Have you?
No, we have not, but some of our neighbors have, and we've been the first to criticize them and poke fun at them that it's not even Thanksgiving and the Christmas lights are up. But you know what? I was at Costco, Brad, like 3.5 weeks ago, and they already had their Christmas stuff out. So
of course they did.
Who am I to judge, right?
I actually Googled this morning for the first time in my life businesses that will come put up Christmas lights. It must mean I'm getting old. Like, I'm just dreading this whole thought because we have family coming next week and they're in-laws. They're not outlaws. Some of you have outlaws that are coming next week. You know this. You know that you're having family members that are going to come and you're just like, God, what a nightmare Uncle Harry is. He's a perv and he watches the news real loud. I don't want to have Uncle Harry in the house, but he's coming nonetheless. Aunt Susie's going to make her Jell-O mold and it tastes like mold. And we don't want any part of that, but they're coming. You guys know they're coming. So I don't know what I'm going to do on that one. I don't know if it's later today. At some point, I've got to get the ladder out and go do that whole deal. I was thinking about sending my 12-year-old out there to do it this year and pay him like $5, but you know, get
you'll,
that
you'll,
point.
You'll get a 12-year-old, you're paying $5 worth of workout.
Yeah,
it,
but
so.
It's no different than what I do. What do you think? I can't change light bulbs.
Yes, you can.
I'm barely able to gap a spark plug. Come on. Like Jared Nielsen was telling me how to end the stream. I have no idea how to end a stream.
Well, he's also the kind of person that works on his own car and like can get under the hood and fix things and replace
Jared?
Things. Yeah.
No, he's leaving work early today to get his car worked on. You kidding me? He's not doing it himself.
It's probably a pretty big, it's a bigger project.
It's a big project? Well,
for me, putting gas in my car is a big project.
Well, I'm the same with you. I always pull it on the wrong side. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's over on the other side. So, you know, on the sports end of things, I think the best story that I saw in the last 24 hours involved the Suns. And I'll get to that in a second. The game itself last night, it was one of those maddening games. It was a game in which the Suns just felt like they were 50 points behind. And I'm trying to pay more attention to them. They're actually getting some TV ratings this year. They are. I follow that stuff. And it actually helps our football show because when the team is on before us and they're actually somewhat relevant people, I don't know, they watch. We have a really good show, so we would like to see the Suns be interesting and the Coyotes be somewhat relevant. It hasn't happened for years. So I'm watching the Suns last night, and they're the worst defensive team statistically. I'm not beating on them like ASU. It's the same deal. ASU and the Suns have the same defensive coordinator. That's the bottom line. Neither one can stop anybody. And the Suns last night couldn't do it, so it was maddening they lost. But here's the play that we have. I don't have my monitor, so I'm just going to have to play off of it. Eric, you've got the play of Booker. So here's Devin Booker after the game, or not after the game, as the game is finishing up, Devin Booker gets ejected, gets tossed from the game. Now I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of cool. Here's a first for Devin Booker. He's gone. He's out of here. And he's got to walk off the court, and he's going to leave graciously. But he really left graciously. He's like...
I don't think I've ever seen a player leave the floor and, number one, sign an autograph, and then give some guy the knuckles like, hey, congratulations, you just got the, you just got kicked out of the game.
I've seen Knuckles before. I think I have seen that.
I don't think I've seen
in
that.
In the tunnel, like at Suns game.
From an opposing, and from no, an opposing, from no, opposing
that's
fans,
that's
no
true.
Less?
That's true. That's true. No, you're right. You're right on that.
It's, for most of us, at least on this side of the glass, we're big Devin Booker fans.
Yeah,
so
I am too.
For him to do that kind of just raises the level of my likeness for him even more.
No, that's what is cool about it is I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, okay, here's another reason why I like what he's all about. Now, I heard the Nuggets play-by-play side on that play. And the Nuggets broadcaster is ripping on Devin Booker. He is being critical of Devin Booker, saying, I don't know why he has such an attitude and all that stuff. I don't know if the video you've got of that, Eric, has the play-by-play on it, but...
It doesn't. I just grabbed the little snippet that you put up on your your Twitter profile.
So, you know, he's doing the autograph there, and that's cool to see him go out, and I like that. But the Nuggets play-by-play, it's actually shot as he's walking into the tunnel. The guy doing the color analysis is like, I don't know why he's such a complainer, and he's a really good player, but he's got this attitude about him. Like, Devin Booker doesn't have attitude. What are you talking about? Stick to your Nuggets. Come on. So the Suns end up losing, but I think that's a win for them because that bit of video has blown up today, and people will see Devin Booker in a more interesting light. Kurt Warner, I've been texting back and forth with him today. We might get him on the show here in a bit. 2017 class semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That caught my eye. Darren Woodson is in that list as well. So I want to talk about Glenn Sherlock as the game goes along. Glenn Sherlock, the Diamondbacks bench coach, he ended up leaving yesterday after 20 years. So I've got some stories on Sherlock, not the frontline name that you know about. And then we're going to get over to ASU and Washington on Saturday, and there's some college basketball today as well, and Todd Graham. We'll take a quick break here. I know we're breaking a little early, but we'll take a quick break. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Jimmy Vaccaro comes up shortly. Goody at the Movies, and much more as we continue on a Thursday. Thanks for being with us. All right, let's go to Vegas. As I mentioned earlier, I'm really interested in tonight's college game, Houston and Louisville, because we have the college football playoff. I am a Heisman Trophy voter, and I've seen Lamar Jackson a couple of times early this season. Louisville can throw a real wrench into all of it. I think if Louisville loses tonight, probably Penn State's jumping up and down. Washington's jumping up and down. So we'll get to Jimmy Vaccaro now in Vegas, not just on college. We have ASU and Washington on, which will be a bloodbath, by the way, on Saturday, and then the Cardinals at Minnesota and some of the other games. But always good to catch up with Jimmy Vaccaro, 41-year Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino and Resort odds maker. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Good, my friend, and you're back off the IR, and you sound strong. Are you ready to go in the last few weeks of the college season? I can tell by your voice.
I'm pumped. I'm psyched. I'm geeked, as I like to say on the air, Jimmy. Let's go with tonight. So just a big question, broad question here on the college football playoff. How does Vegas view this top four thing every week, if at all?
Well, the bookmakers really don't look at it at all. I mean, it really serves no purpose as far as we're concerned. But the positive side of it is, it's like what I've been talking about for the past 15 or 20 years, Brett. There's such a lot to talk about, and naturally people like you and on the other stations, it just creates more interest. And how much more interest can you create when it's so chaotic, when teams 2, 3, and 4 lost last week? And anytime as a bookmaker, when you get things that are chaotic, and obviously, you know, people like to talk about it, it's better for our side of the counter too. So tonight, yes, a few weeks ago, we were talking a little different tone about what this game would mean, but now it's really all on Louisville to pursue and push somebody out and to say that nobody can beat anybody else, but then obviously you're on the wrong planet. Tonight's game, we open Louisville, a 13.5-point favorite, total 68. We're up to 14, and I surely can see that there'll be a lot more money showing on Louisville because naturally they're right there in their hunt, and this is what makes it great.
How much money is showing, if you can even put a number on it, around Alabama to be in the final and to win it all, Jimmy?
That's the only team we lose on. We are now, you got a layup price, and obviously that's really hard when you, beginning of the year, you're telling someone that they're going to basically win all their games and get to the playoffs and be the favorite there. Way back when we first put these things out, you could have got a hefty 6-1 for Alabama to win it all. And that's obviously a fair price. Now you have to lay $1.40 if you want it. So going from 6-1 to laying 7-5, it's a huge, huge differential. But let me tell you again, my friend, I've been telling people, as most of the people who around in my racket, we've never seen a point spread, in other words, from like Alabama to the second, third, or fourth team with a power rating that's at least 7 points off. Usually team one to team four maybe is 3, 3.5. But Alabama obviously is way ahead of the curve. So no matter who that they would fight right now in the playoff game, they're at least be a touchdown. And if they keep steamrolling teams, you might see the national championship game come as Alabama a 10-point favorite if they continue to win.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us from Vegas. It's always good to catch up with Jimmy, South Point Casino and Resort. Tonight's NFL game, New Orleans at Carolina. What's the view in Vegas?
2.5 Carolina, Carolina opened a 4-point favorite. We went as low as 3. There was a lot of money on the Saints, and now the bow and arrow guy from Carolina is getting some money back. We are back at 3. I would suggest that if it blinks over 3, we'll continue to get Saints money. And obviously, what they say, the Panthers, they've been a big flop so far. And who knows how the Saints are going to react to tonight's game after the blocked extra point last week. That's what makes it so intriguing. So right now, let's just call Carolina a 3-point favorite. And at that number, we're getting divided action.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us, Kurt Warner in about 10 minutes. If we shift over to the Cardinals game against Minnesota this weekend, a team that hasn't won in a month in Minnesota and a team that's just teetering on the edge of not being a playoff contender in the Cardinals. View in Vegas, Cardinals-Vikings.
Yeah, more than a teeter. The seesaw is headed in the wrong direction for both of these teams. There's no doubt about it that if you would have said again, I'm always going back to a few weeks ago, how things changed quickly. Arizona, you had to struggle last week to beat a San Francisco team. The Vikings, I have no idea what's going on over there. All of a sudden, they can't get a first down. The game is Minnesota 1, which it should be, which is showing that, like, you know, basically these are a pick'em outfit. And these are games that you're fighting for your playoff life here. We're getting down to that curve where every game is obviously means much more because you can be out of the mix real easy. And, you know, Arizona loses, you go to, 4-5, and Minnesota losing 4 in a row. So, interesting game. It's where it should be as a Minnesota 1-point favorite. Don't see a whole bunch of money on the other side. I would say, at best, we'll get divided action on the game. But let's call it like it is, my friend. It is not a marquee game for this Sunday.
What does it mean to Vegas to have Dallas relevant in a big way, Jimmy?
You love it. Absolutely, you love it. I mean, we're starting back to creep into America's team. And funny thing last week, Brad, we opened the game. The Steelers are 2.5-point favorite. It looked sort of low that, you know, obviously the Cowboys are playing so well, but it's a game they could lose and really not jeopardize much in their division. The Steelers, again, are fighting for their life. Coming off a loss the week before with the Ravens, and you would think this is going to be a good spot. At the beginning of the week, the public jumped in taking +2.5. Which was a little surprising because I kind of figured the smarts would jump in and lay it at 2.5, and they did. So we actually made a few dollars on the game. But the Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders are your two favorite teams right now in the NFL. Forget marquee value with Tom Brady. It's like the Trump-Hillary thing. A lot of people don't like either one of them. So I'm saying right now, the Cowboys and the Raiders are coming up, and they're coming fast, buddy.
You got Dallas-Baltimore. Got a thought on that one this week?
You know, not really. It's the same thing. You know, what can you say? All of a sudden, the Cowboys are 7.5-point favorite over a team that a lot of people considered would win the divisions they're in with the Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. But Dallas, you had no idea they'd be 8-1 after the first 9 games. But they should be a 7.5-point favorite. Now, this game a while ago would have been around 6 or 1. But, you know, I don't know what the Tony Romo that dissertation meant yesterday, if it means anything. I think it's better off if it had just been quiet, but you can't take it away from these two youngsters for Dallas. But 7.5, I would suggest we'll get a lot of teaser play on Dallas, teasing the game down to 1 or 1.5. I don't think they see too many straight bets laying the 7.5, or they're not in love with the Ravens taking the 7.5 either.
Jimmy, have a good week. Appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right, pal.
Take care. This is Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino and Resort. Odds maker. And just money every week. Todd Graham. So Ray Anderson earlier this week told Craig Morgan, and Craig's very good, very thorough reporter, that there should be no question that Todd Graham is going to return as coach at Arizona State. This was met, I think, a lot of yawns and, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't think it's any coincidence that ASU released their numbers of graduation and their academic side right around the same time. And I've already had people said, you know, how can this be and what do you think? I'm fine with this. The buyout's too big to get rid of Todd. I'm still of the opinion that it wouldn't surprise me if Todd left before ASU asked him to leave. Okay. He may be here 20 years, but to think that there's 100% unanimity that he should be the coach at Arizona State from the Big Cigars, you are kidding yourselves. This whole thing about Ray not hiring Todd, you know, Ray's comments were interesting about on the field. On the field is, quote, I'm paraphrasing, had to do with injuries and young players and all that stuff. That works in 2016. That will not work next year. The fact that Ray even commented on it to me is more of a surprise. We've got some video of ASU this season. And look, can I go back and find some good plays? Sure I can. But there's a reason why this team is not good from a record standpoint. There is a reason why when Todd at the beginning of the year says, well, what's our record at home? It turns over to Mark Brand. What are we, 3-0? Not bad, not bad. Okay, well then turn it right back around when you're not good, okay? You got to be fair on both sides and not tell everybody, you guys have got it all wrong, okay? This has been embarrassing this year. This happens way too often. Wide open, running down sidelines, missed tackles. Missed tackles is a sign of lack of discipline or lack of talent. And it's one of those deals where you've got to stand there and take the arrows on this. And they're not going to be patient a year from now. Doesn't matter what the graduation number is, in my opinion, the graduation number is great and it's a saving grace, but when you're sitting there looking at next season. So next season, they open with New Mexico State. That'll be a W. They play San Diego State, who's pretty good, and they're scoring some points. I don't know if that'll be a W or not. It should be a W. Both those games are at home. They go play at Texas Tech, except the game is in Dallas, kind of like what they did with Texas A&M. And then they have the conference play. And so, you know, let's just see how this finishes out. If they put up a good fight at Washington, if they go to U of A and they win the game convincingly, it's a different tone. If they go to Washington and get whacked, if they lose to U of A, it's a completely different tone. Just because something is said publicly on the 15th or 16th of November doesn't mean it's going to be the same thing on the 1st of December, in my view. Things change. So I'm not going to sit here and make big blaring headlines out of it or run around and say, all is well, because it's not. And I think Todd would admit things aren't all well. You know, if you just were to sit there and visit with him and say, what are the problems here? Youth, injury, inexperience. Okay. Then the last few years on the defensive side of the football, when we saw the boat race that happened in the bowl game last year and the boat races that have happened this year, that cannot all be chalked up to inexperience and youth. There's got to be more to it than just that. Very simple. Teams like Colorado were doormats, and now all of a sudden Colorado has built themselves. Utah came in as a doormat, and they've built themselves. USC might have gotten it all figured out. UCLA has kind of fallen back. They've continued to be just a basketball school. Football's kind of sort of maybe there. Jim Moore may be gone. We see what's going on down in Tucson. You know, that's not going to get any better for Rich. So that's Todd Graham's front. Kurt Warner's next. We'll visit with Kurt Warner, semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll talk to some Cardinals as well with Kurt Warner on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Kurt Warner with us now. Always good to catch up with the great Cardinal, 2017 class semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This came out yesterday. Last time I saw Kurt, he had the visor and the shorts and the coaching shirt on over at Basha High School for his son, Cade. They just finished their season at Desert Mountain. So there's a lot to get caught up to with Kurt Warner. Appreciate his time. How are you?
I'm doing great, Brad. How are you?
Good, good, good to hear your voice. The news yesterday, semifinalist Pro Football Hall of Fame, your reaction?
Well, I mean, it's an incredible honor to be in that mix for the third straight year and to continue to watch the great players that come through and they're on that list and are next to you. It just, you know, you're just humbled that you're in that category. Specifically me, you know, every time I look back to how my career played out and the fact that I didn't start till I was 28 and then bouncing around to some different teams, it's just, it's a huge honor, and I'm very humbled to be in that conversation. And then you just ride the wave and you see what happens.
When you read the analysis of Kurt will make it if, or he won't make it because of, do you read that stuff, have you in the past, and says, wait a minute, you guys are missing the point here. This is why I should be in there. Do you read any of that breakdown analysis of the class and the chances?
Well, the thing is I'm very realistic about, always have been about my career and my path. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, what a lot of people look at and say, this is why he shouldn't be in, you know, the time in between, you know, and then the overall maybe success or longevity, you know, to me, that makes the greatest case for me, you know, to be able to do what I did with two different teams and to go and have success with two organizations that perennially struggled to have success, to play in three Super Bowls, you know, and all of that after, you know, after starting when I was 28. So there's no way that I was ever going to have the numbers to match up to, you know, some of the greatest quarterbacks that have ever played. But, you know, so it's funny to me because I look at my career and I go, these to me are the crowning moments. These are the things
sure
that separate my story from everyone else. Whereas a lot of voters or people that might look at my, you know, my stats say, well, this is why he shouldn't be. So it's just kind of funny to me because those are the things I'm most proud of, because not everybody walks the same path. And I think that's one of the things that I'm honored to have been a finalist three straight years is because a lot of people out there, specifically those that vote for the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
recognize the uniqueness and the specialness and what I was able to accomplish against those odds, and have put me up as a finalist. And so, you know, I greatly appreciate that part of it. And if that is ultimately the reason I don't get in, I'm quite all right with that. I love the fact that I have a story that no one else has, and that to me is what I'm most proud of when I look back at my career and where I am today. So it's okay if those are the reasons that keep me out. Yet to me, that would be the biggest argument to put me in if you felt compelled to do so.
You know, what's interesting, and we're talking with Kurt Warner. What's interesting about this is I do a segment every week with Peter King here. And Clark Judge is somebody that I do quite a bit of work with, and Rick Gosling and Kent Summers, of course. So these are Hall of Fame voters. You're not one that's going to go out there and lobby. There's some guys that go out and do it a different type of way where there's marketing groups and there's working on writers and all that stuff. I haven't seen that out of you through this process through the last 3 years, and I do appreciate that. Your work stands on its own 2 feet, and yeah, you'll talk about it on the NFL Network if you're asked about it or if I ask you to come on the show. I get that, but... but I think it's pretty cool that you're just going about the approach of, if I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't.
Well, I mean, I think the bottom line is I want what I did and what I accomplished to speak for itself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If that's qualification to be in the Hall of Fame, great. If it's not, I understand. And, I, you know, it's not going to affect me long term. I mean, I'm not going out and trying to convince people that what I did was special enough to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know. I don't know what the parameters are. I don't know what the rules are. And I trust that those people that have voted for so long to get the people in the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
that I trust them to do whatever they should do and put the people in that should go in. And as I said, I will be honored if that's the case. But, you know, if for whatever reason my career doesn't speak to that level, again, I'm quite all right with that. To me, it's icing on the cake for what I had was a tremendous career. And more importantly, I think the impact that I was able to have on the league, but maybe more importantly, on the teams that I played for.
Do you know who's presenting for you in this year's meeting? Do you have a presenter?
You know, I don't know. I know in the past that Kent as well yeah. as Bernie Miklas.
Yep. Great columnist in St. Louis.
So,
yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, it just speaks, I think, to the uniqueness of my story is I have two people that, you know, at times will present for me, being that I had that impact in two different places. Yeah, so just it's interesting all the way around, but I know those two are both involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I'm sure one of them takes the lead every year. Without St. Louis having a team now, I'm not sure what that does. I don't know how that affects the process, so I guess we'll see.
Let me shift over a few things, just running by you quickly, and I appreciate your time with Kurt Warner. Larry Fitzgerald's future, what does your gut tell you as we sit here on November 17th about this being his last season?
That's what my gut tells me. You know, I think just, you know, gotten beat up this year, and I think it's been a hard year physically. And, you know, but there's so many things that go into why you retire when you do. And I don't know what
That's a big dog. It's a dang big dog. Take your leg off.
But I don't know what's going to be the determining factor when it's all said and done is – You know, I think he still believes there's a team there that.
Don't break the fight up. Is it a fight, Kurt? We got dog fight?
No, somebody just walked in the house that she wasn't familiar with. So,
jeez, that person's running for their life right now.
Yeah, but I think it depends on what ultimately is the reason that he wants to retire. I mean, if he's on a team that he thinks can win a championship, which is really, as we all know, the one thing and the only thing that he'll not have accomplished, you know, if it were to end today, you know, do you come back for that sole purpose, believing that you've got a team to do that? If that's not the driving factor for him, this is just a gut feeling from me that I feel like this might be it for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's so productive still. That's the thing. And they target him 18 times on Sunday. That was.
Yeah. Well, and that's the fun thing is that I just get a chance to appreciate and watch the different kinds of success that he's had over the years. And I think that's so true for any great player is that you kind of have to reinvent yourself and you have to develop into more of a complete player the farther you go, because we all know certain skills and things diminish and you have to play different ways. And that to me is what I've appreciated about watching him over the last couple of years is the production is still ridiculous, but how he does it now is so completely different than when I was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so it's a great appreciation for who he is and how he does it, not even just, you know, as a football player, but how he does it as a person on the field and has the success and, you know, always trying to deflect. I mean, it's fun and it's, you know, I appreciate watching who he is as a person and a player and how it comes off on the field.
Biggest difference you see in Carson Palmer this year to last year in terms of productivity?
I think it's just not as easy this year. You know, I think last year was one of those great years where things just happened to come together. You know, they're very much an offense that loves to stretch the field. Coach Arians has always been like that, and Carson's very good at making those throws. And it just seemed like last year, you know, a lot of that stuff just played out, and they got those opportunities, and they took some chances, and those chances worked out for them. That's just not going to happen every year, especially when you're talking about throwing the ball down the field. So now it's been a lot tougher offensively because they haven't got as many big plays and they haven't got those game-changing touchdown plays where they've had to work the ball a little bit more and be more ball control. It's harder that way, you know, because so many things come into play when you're playing that way, whether it's the offensive line, the running game, the situations that you're in, you know, what's your forte with your receivers or even Carson. I think he's better with, you know, the more down the field stuff than he is with the quicker stuff or when he gets, you know, off of the pace of dropping back and being able to step up in the pocket and throw. And so I think that's what you've seen is that things just haven't been as easy offensively. So it's been more of a grind for them and hasn't necessarily played into the strengths of what their team is all about.
Is it time for them to get a young quarterback here? Or do you still see this as a 1 year they're going to retool and he could still be very productive? Or is it time to start getting that new person in the pipeline?
Well, I mean, I think it's always time. I mean, I think every team is looking for that new quarterback and understands, you know, when your quarterbacks get up to 34, 35, 36, that, you know, the end is closer than the beginning.
Sure.
And you start looking for that. Do I feel like Carson can't be successful for a couple more years? Absolutely not. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think very often you fall off a cliff. And last year, I mean, the guy was a MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And this year at times he's shown that, you know, he can still play at that level. As I said, it just isn't that easy all the time. You know, you don't just, you know, show up every year and expect it to be as easy as it was the last year. And I think you're seeing that, but I think a lot of it's going to depend on, can they get back to playing within the strengths of Carson Palmer? And the more you get away from that, I think the more he and the offense is going to struggle. And again, not any fault of his. It's just sometimes teams develop different ways, and you know, and it goes away from maybe what you do best.
Before I let you go, we're talking with Kurt Warner. I'm going to talk about your son a little bit. Is he getting recruited? Cade, your receiver over at Desert Mountain, how's that going?
You know, he was a little behind the eight ball in regards to, you know, a lot of the bigger schools are going to recruit their classes a year ago. You mm-hmm. know, they're going to hand out their scholarships and stuff well ahead of time. And so he kind of, for whatever reason, people missed him in that process. So now we've got a number of teams that are interested. You know, the bigger schools is more of a preferred walk-on position, which, again, no problem with that. Go earn your keep. And, you know, so teams like ASU in Iowa, Northwestern, we've talked with UCLA and some other schools about a possible position like that. A number of Ivy League schools are interested, so we're heading over to Harvard this weekend to check out the Harvard-Yale rivalry and see what Ivy League football is all about.
Cool.
So he definitely has options to play. I mean, there's a lot of places that people have said, we will welcome you as part of our program, but you just know all these young kids want a scholarship, and it's all about a scholarship, and he just got in a little bit behind the eight ball with that. So don't know how that's going to play out, but there's definitely teams that are interested at a lot of different levels, and I always tell them, you know, all it takes is one, and all I got was one, so he's got better choices than I got, and we'll just see what route he decides to go, you know, because he's a smart kid, he's a great kid educationally, he's going to have some great opportunities there, you know, so it's just a matter of, at the end of the day, where he feels most comfortable both academically and as an athlete.
What did ASU, have you talked to Todd Graham about him? And if so, what did he say?
Yeah, we actually went over and visited and sat down, and they really like him. They really think that he could be a great fit for what they do. And that really is what it comes down to. You know, my son. My son's 205 pounds already, 6'1", 6'2". So he's a bigger guy, yet, you know, not quite that size of, you know, one of those tight ends, hybrids. A little bigger than most receivers, so he's not going to have the 4.5 speed that everybody wants. So, you know, it's a matter of taking a chance on a kid, and I liken him a lot to an Anquan Boldin at a high school level, that he's a great route runner. He uses his body extremely well. Hands are great, has the ability to run after the catch. So he's got all those skills, but he's just a bigger guy. And, you know, a lot of people look at that and go, well, I don't know if he's fast enough. Well, everybody said that about Anquan his entire career, and here's a Hall of Famer that looks you in the face and says, okay, whatever, I wasn't fast enough, but I know how to play the game, and that's very much what he's like. He's probably the most polished receiver I've seen at the high school level because we do a lot of things and we teach him how to run routes. So he's got a leg up in that regard, but he's just, you know, I think that's a lot of people's caveat as well. We're not sure he's fast enough, and, you know, we see guys all the time, the Jarvis Landrys and the Anquan Boldins and the, you know, even the Jerry Rices that, you know, from a speed standpoint, weren't the fast guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know how to play the game and you're productive and can catch the football, there's a place for you. And so Arizona State has really, you know, said that much to us, is that we believe there's a great fit for him, and we think we know how to use him, and that he could be really good at this level.
Before I let you go, are you going to keep coaching now that he's through the system over at Desert Mountain? Did you enjoy the high school coaching experience?
I do enjoy it. You know, it's great when you have a child there. So, you know, I probably will stay on. I've got another son who's 13, so he will be at the high school level in 2 years.
He's a good basketball player, though. Too, though, I've
seen
your son.
He's a good basketball player, and he's a budding quarterback.
Ah.
so. And then there's some guys there that I kind of feel obligated, some younger guys. We've got a young quarterback in Keaton Slovis that I believe has a chance to have a great high school career. So I feel a little obligated to the boys that I've been with, and then to kind of keep the program moving and trying to grow it. So when my other son comes through, I'll have a chance to be a part of that as well. So I'm leaning in that direction. You know, it definitely takes up a lot of time and effort, that's for sure. But it is very rewarding to help these young men to succeed.
Here's the thing about Kurt and I. We see each other at gyms. We don't see each other at fields. We don't see each other at television. We see each other like over at, you know, Salvation Army over on Broadway or something and on Court 3. Yep. It's the beautiful part of our lives. I appreciate your time and your insight as always. Thanks.
You bet, Brad. Anytime.
Stay well. There's Kurt Warner with us, Hall of Fame finalist, semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame 2017 class. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports and you need to get a life, AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic Bill Goody-Koontz is here to provide the way, the path to talk about the movies. You need to get out and see something. Fantastic Beasts starts this week. My daughter, who's a Harry Potter nut, no other way to put it, saw it the other night and was over the moon about it. I don't know what Bill thinks, and that is why he joins us now. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
And I liked it, too. It's a lot of fun. I am not the Harry Potter, you know, nut that some people are. One of my kids really is. And he, in fact, has a friend in eighth grader who said she will not go see it because it is impossible for the movie to live up to the book because the book is perfect.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I can't really speak to that because I read the book. You know, the book, it's interesting, though. The book is not really a book. It's a textbook that J.K. Rowling wrote in 2001 just as a companion. It's supposedly a textbook that Harry Potter and all those guys used at Hogwarts. It's amazing that I know all these things now. And they it just grows from there. But I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It's pretty darker probably than some of the Harry Potter. Well, I guess that part at the end where the world is about to get destroyed and Harry Potter is pretty dark.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's dark.
It's like the elections.
Listen to you. Are you happy? So let's dive out of the movie because I do want to ask Bill about this. So you're saying go see it. Right? It's got a big buildup.
Absolutely.
Okay, so go see it. So let's get over to the elections. Then we'll get back to movies. Have you gone through detox yet? Because you were fully immersed in election and you had people just go after you from every way, shape, and form, lowest common denominator being that they all thought they had the answers and they were all misinformed. I thought. That's me speaking. You can come after me, not Bill. How have you handled the post-election, Bill?
Well, when you commented on my stuff, they came after you, too.
Yes, they did. it's great.
Yeah, man, you just get your hands dirty no matter what.
That's it.
I think finally, I don't know if I can or not. I read a big old thing that ran in the Sunday paper about kind of, it was going to be like a post-mortem on you know, how the media performed, which is not always that great.
Yeah.
But
we didn't perform well, by the way. We didn't perform well, so that we got that out.
But sometimes we did. Sometimes there were some good stories in there. People just didn't read them, so I don't know what you do about that. But there's a lot of junk in there, too. But there, it ended up being a story about this really kind of troubling thing where Facebook now is just sharing right and left these sort of fake news sites.
Right.
And the effect that has had. Now they're trying to fight it, and it's a little late for that. But that is really troubling. And to me, a troubling thing about just society, and the media plays a big part in society, more than people want to admit. I talk to people who will not believe, they won't even read what's in the New York Times or the Washington Post. But if it's some far-right site with freedom or patriot or something like that in the title, they just take it as gospel. They just think that's the absolute truth. And that is not good for this country. Because you can say what you want about the Washington Post and the New York Times, and yeah, they've done some weird stuff, and they've made mistakes like everybody else. But those are institutions that help this country function. And that's a bad deal when you start believing crazy stuff and not that.
Let me just say this, and we're not going to get to any other movies today because the segment's going to be gone. But let me just say this, okay? I am dreading Thanksgiving next week from this standpoint. I have a divided family, and I have some family members that are just completely off in Looney Tunes world, from my view, in what was going to happen if she was elected versus what is going to happen because he was elected. And I'm just dreading Thanksgiving Day because these two sides are so polar opposites and so dug in. And I don't think I'm alone on that. It's crazy.
I just saw a story today about how some families are declaring it a politics-free zone. Well,
that's a good idea.
And it used to be. When I was growing up, you know, you didn't want to talk about the UVA-Virginia Tech game at Thanksgiving. And, you know, and then moved out here, and you didn't want to talk about the U of A-ASU game at Thanksgiving. And, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, somewhere else, it's, you know, it's Washington and Washington State or whatever it is. But now it's like you can't talk about the election. I think, and my wife keeps saying this, and I think it's really true, and I think it's kind of sad, that, you know, a healthy debate is good, of course. I mean, it's important to any functioning society. But this, for whatever reason, maybe it's the candidates, maybe it's the polarization or whatever it is, this has really brought out the worst in everybody. And the people talking to each other in ways that you would never talk to, like your friend or your relative.
And I don't look, Bill, I don't even mind protesting. I think protesting is a right. I don't mind people walking and marching as long as it's peaceful. I don't think walking into car dealerships and smashing cars in Portland makes any sense at all. That's not right. But I have no problem with people voicing their displeasure. That's what our country is built upon. It's you're an idiot and I'm the smartest person in the room and I'm not listening. I'm not even going to listen to what you have to say because I'm smart. That's wrong.
Right. And you are by definition then wrong because I am right.
Correct.
And only one side can be right. That's I agree with the protesters. I think there's no place for vandalism, but there's always a place for peaceful protest.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, however, you know, I saw this pretty funny story that said, wow, if there was only some other civic duty these people could have performed that might have changed the outcome. Because you find out, like, 45% of them didn't vote?
Right.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
But it's been crazy, and I am genuinely curious to see where it goes from here.
I'll let you off that. We'll have more time next week. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks.
All right.
It's good to eat the movies. Always good to catch up with Bill, and far more interesting on the political end this week because I'll go see Fantastic Beasts. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We have plenty of content up on our website and throughout the day and throughout the night. Our staff gets after it. Things that are high school, college, pro college, high school around Arizona. If you have story ideas, I'll shoot them over to us. You can shoot them right to me, Brad at Sports360AZ.com. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He steers this ship right into the rocks. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of nothing. He does the same. And I sit here and screw around for an hour every day. Thanks for being with us.